I'm just pranking.
I know you are. I can tell by your eyes you're full of mischief. I can tell. Yeah, let me see if I can spring. Are we ready? What is the day? December the 8th?
I believe so.
Okay, today's December the 8th, 1992, and I'm in the home of Chris Geary. Now I've got to get my notes ready. First, I want to talk to you about your birth date and all that.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so give me your birthday.
September 15th.
That's Steve's birthday.
Is it really?
It sure is. What year?
1970.
Were you born in Ohio, Ken?
Here in Ohio, Ken, yes.
Okay. What's your religious preference?
General Baptist, I guess.
You raised Baptist?
Yes.
And what's your educational background?
Graduated class 89, Ohio County High. I went to school for a couple of years at Kentucky Tech in Owensboro.
Okay. And that's where you picked up your machinist.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Okay, and you're single. That's what I need to ask you. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one brother. One brother.
What's his name?
Keith.
Older or younger?
Older.
Much older?
Yes.
How much older? You're laughing.
Well, the best I can tell is about 15 years.
Oh my. In other words, your mother had two families.
You can say that. You can say that, I guess.
Okay. Tell me about your musical aptitude here.
Well, I play banjo, guitar, the mandolin, the electric bass, and I really shouldn't say anything as far as my fiddle work is concerned because it lacks a lot left to be desired. So,
well,
but I do prank the fiddle. So.
How old were you when you started being interested in music?
Music has been very important, I guess, from very early. I remember going to church and listening to singings and quartets and things of that nature. Being very, very drawn by what was going on for me, you know.
As a child, did you want to get up there and sing too?
No.
Or you were just more interested in the music? Just.
I was fascinated with the music.
Mm. Shy?
Yes. Very much so, that's how I would say.
Well, when you were listening to these quartets and things, what kind of music was being played with the singing? Or was it a cappella?
For the most part, it was probably simply the piano. However, I probably guess the first time I was really introduced to the style of music that I'm involved with right now, I was probably around 10 years old, I would say.
And how
old? That is with a banjo, a guitar, an electric bass.
And how were you exposed to these instruments?
Well, pretty much I was given a guitar as a gift for my birthday one year, I think. And, that was probably a big disappointment for them because really, really deep down wanted the banjo. And they decided, well, I think we best get you a guitar, something that even maybe I can help you with, you know. And after about a week of playing on the instrument, while I decided, hey, I'm for sure this isn't what I want, you know, because my fingers are killing me, you know. And the guitar didn't go over very good for the first couple of years, I would think.
Well, when you didn't really get along with the guitar, then did you go to the banjo, or did you kind of take a break for a while and go to something later?
Well, I kind of took a break, I guess you might say, and about a year or so afterwards, I did receive the banjo as a gift. And that went much better. That went much better.
Did you take lessons?
Probably in something of the sense. It was a very dear friend. He was up the road. And he was the one that I first saw, I guess, playing the banjo and really being drawn by. And after we bought the instrument and everything, I went up there because none of us here, you know, had any idea about how to tune the thing, how to even begin to play the thing. So, you know, you gotta have a little, something to build on. So we called and asked him if he would mind helping me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, of course, you know, there wasn't any problems there. So we got the instrument, you know, learned to tune the instrument, and I was taught based the right hand rolls the fingering, the rolls with the right hand, and how to coordinate my left hand with the right hand, because, you know, that's at first it can be very difficult to imagine how one can work with the other simultaneously. And I learned the two or three basic tunes. I mean, at the time I learned, everybody always learns the first tune on the banjo is Cripple Creek. So, which I truly hated. I hated that tune.
That's funny.
And then I learned Cripple Creek, and then, let's see, it seems like I got started with an old tune that still I just really, really have a great appreciation for today. An old Stanley Brothers song, an old Stanley Brothers tune, entitled Groundhog. It was beautiful, you know, the way it worked.
Mm.
Just backwards and forwards, and I learned that.
I'm not familiar with it.
Most people aren't.
I never heard of it.
And, you know, it's not, you don't hear it today. Mm. You don't hear it today. But it's something that's been handed down for years, you know.
Was it basically a banjo piece, or was it basically a guitar or fiddle?
I'd say it was basically a banjo. Mm. Of course, it was not just a tune, you know, it did have words to it, but with the tune, you know, was all I really cared about, you know. It had a great melody to it. Mm-hmm. It was very...
You'd have to play it for me after a while.
Yeah, okay.
Since I haven't heard it.
Okay.
That would be fun.
I should do it. It was very interesting. I really enjoyed the tune. I learned that. I learned Cumberland Gap, another one of the first pieces of young banjo players cut the teeth on.
Yeah, did this guy teach you these songs?
Yes.
Or was it sheet music, or did he just teach it to you?
It was just taught straight to me.
Did he read music?
No. In the sense, no. However, most all banjo players know how to read tablature. Tablature is a form of sheet music. However, it's not... It's much more exact, much more...
Is that when you have the little thing and you put the dots on here?
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about? What did you call it?
Tablature.
Tablature.
Tablature. He could see that I was beginning to cut my teeth pretty good as far as developing my right hand and my left hand and my interest as well. So after I learned probably about four tunes from him, we went down, we purchased a book of songs. And of course, you know, you have your record player and your tape player, and you sit here and you learn the song so you can hear the words in your head, that you might keep the melody, of course. And, well, I'd sit down and I learned the chord patterns and everything to some of these songs. And we decided from that point that I was already into it deep enough that and had a strong enough beginning that we would kind of just step out on the water for myself, you know, mm-hmm. and pick it up from there. So after that, I sit down and listen to records, learn a lot of tunes from recordings such as that. And I remember buying tablature. I'm one of the world's worst, probably. Tablature is, it's fascinating because it's right there, you know, everything that's done is right there. And but my problem is, my serious problem is patience. It's not really very good, but I'm not a very patient person.
I would think a musician would have to be very patient to practice that much.
Well, the practice, you know, that was different. I mean, that was material. I mean, I could hear what was going on at the time, you know. I can hear when I'm making progress. And when you sit there with tablature, it can be a slow process, you know. It's a very slow process.
What do you mean it's a slow process?
Well, you have the right hand pattern there as well as the left hand pattern. Well, you look here at your book, mm-hmm. and you look back up here at your bands on it, and you begin to position your fingers where they need to be, and then you get your right hand to work. Of course, while you're doing that, the right hand doesn't work in the same context. You know, you have to keep moving. These fingers on the left, you know, have to keep moving, and you have to keep an eye on the paper so you can do it, you know. And I've got a bunch of tablature here. As far as tablature goes, I probably want to learn. Maybe four or five, probably about five or six pieces, I would say, from tablature. And most of those were fiddle tunes. As far as tablature goes, I like to take care of it. You know, it's kind of dear to me. It's something that's, you know, it's music, mm-hmm. you know. And it's always there if I want to go back to it for some kind of reference. But it's just a matter of me having patience to sit down and learn something from tablature. My ear is pretty good. I can mm-hmm. generally, if I hear something, and have strong desire to learn it, while generally I can put it together for myself and then vary from it according to my likes or dislikes.
Mm-hmm. Make your own way with it.
Exactly.
Well then, when you were this young boy, how much time were you spending practicing a day? Did you practice every day?
Yes. At first, when I was learning the right hand rolls, I might spend a half an hour. And at the very beginning, I was really, as I said earlier, I'm very impatient in certain circumstances. and I wasn't seeing that much progress in the beginning. And of course, you know, I would lose patience. not a lot, maybe a half hour a night practice. And then as I began to develop and everything and progress, well, desire began to grow and grow and grow. And I remember before the banjo came along, I remember coming home and going out and playing. The neighbors next door were playing, you know. That was it. And when the banjo came along and I got very deeply rooted with that, I'm very taken with that. Why? Probably 75% of all that time that was spent out playing outdoors was spent working on that banjo. I'd say I worked sometimes as well as 2 hours a night, you know, every night. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of stay in it.
When did you start playing with other people? Or did you always play with other people?
Well, no. As you learn, there's things you have to learn, such as timing. Which is...
I always had trouble with that.
Which is ultra important, of course. You know. And if you get a good rhythm guitar, man, you need rhythm. Banjo is pretty much a straightforward solo instrument. Not limiting it, but I'm saying when you do a tune, you need to have some rhythm. Well, if you couldn't keep up with rhythm, man, or the rhythm man couldn't keep up with you, you know, it was very difficult. You had to learn that. After I finally did learn that, why, yes, I had several people to play with.
Local people?
Mm-hmm.
Or did you have to go?
Yeah. Yes, local people. Mm-hmm.
Well, then, how did you get involved in to win the championship? You know? How did all that happen?
After several years of working. And working. And I tried the contest. It seemed like I'd been in the contest 4 years or so.
And I want you to refresh my memory on the contest. At one point, I knew where the contest was and everything, but right now I can't recall it. So,
the contest takes place the third weekend of July at River River State Park.
Now, is that the thing that Joey Hall...
Yes, it is.
Okay.
The old-time Fiddler's
Convention. Okay.
And they have several different categories, and it's our understanding that when you win your particular category, you're considered the state, you know, it's considered a state competition.
Mm-hmm.
So, it seemed like I played about 3 years and was really losing patience at that, you know, and...
Losing patience because you wanted to win immediately?
Yes.
Or losing, why were you losing patience?
That's just, it's just the way I am. I'm, under certain circumstances, I'm very patient. It's according to what the subject is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When you try so hard, when you sit and work so hard at something, work hard at getting every note and every passage of each piece, when you work to get it perfect, when you work to get it smooth, and clean,
mm-hmm.
to be clean, and then sometimes, you know, contest is a contest, you know, that's mm-hmm. the way it is. Someone else plays a little bit cleaner or a little bit clearer.
I was going to ask you, what do you mean by clean?
Clean is not hearing any mistakes. Clean is not hearing any picks fumble on a string, not mm-hmm. hearing a scratch or anything like that, or anything out of context as far as that goes.
Okay. That cleared that up. So after 3 years?
The fourth year I went back, and I said, the third year, that the previous year, I said, man, I ain't coming back here. This is it. I'm finished with contests.
Mr. Patience had had enough.
I went back. Jeff Morris. Jeff is as close as a brother to me. Jeff played rhythm for me that day. And we got there, and it was 105 degrees that year. And I remember walking, you know, trying to find Jeff's camper. You know, we hadn't played together for a while, but he knew that I wanted to use him as a rhythm man. So, furthermore, he didn't know the pieces I wanted to play.
Oh, no.
So we had to sit down and work that out. And it was very hot. I remember carrying that heavy banjo, hunting for his camper, you know. And I carried a bath towel. I carried a bath towel over my shoulder, you know, to wipe sweat with, because it was awful. It was hot. That night I went down there and I won the contest by being clean and playing clear and playing, you know, everything as it should be.
Mm-hmm. Was it a difference in your playing? Had your playing evolved that much, or was it just one of those things where before you just hadn't had a good day?
I believe it's probably a combination of both. I think more than likely everyone will at different times will plateau and they're playing. But if you plateau and you're content with what you're doing, then you can never be any better. Mm-hmm. So you have to keep going. So I just continue to learn, continue to become strong in my right hand.
Mm. So now, after the contest, what is your career, or do you consider this sort of a career, a hobby? What do you consider this?
I consider it a hobby, I guess. As far as contest goes, I won it in 88. I remember that too. This was kind of neat because I remember that Wednesday, the contest takes place on Friday. That Wednesday I got my driver's license. I was 16, man. I was thrilled. I got my driver's license, you know. I remember that. And 2 days later, I turned around in the contest.
You were on a roll, weren't you?
I was doing pretty good. I was happy. And I think I won in 91, maybe. No, it was probably 1990.
So you've won it twice.
I've won it twice. I won it twice.
Do you play for dances, or guys just jamming, or how does it?
I prefer just to jam. I prefer just to jam for the musicians. You get a good bunch together over here. And get a good bunch together over there, you know, and find where you can fit the best, and well, when you do, and everything works well, you can appreciate it, and so can everyone else, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's true. What does the music do for you as a person? Does it relax you? Does it make you nervous? What does it do?
It's hard to say. I listen to a lot. I listen to all kinds of music. Mm-hmm. I listen to all kinds of music. Some music I relax with. Some I just pretty much, you know, it will excite me. You mm-hmm. know, hey, did you hear what they just done? You know, man, that was hot. And it's just according. It's just according.
So actually, you get a big sort of charge out of it, as well as relaxing.
Yes. As far as relaxing goes, well, just the different types of music I'll sit in and play, mm-hmm. or listen to.
Okay. Well, if you're when you play, like for example, when you had the contest going on, mm-hmm. and you played, of course you got high when you won. But after that, and you played again somewhere, did you notice the way you played changed after you won? I mean, did you seem to feel better within yourself than if you hadn't won? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Did winning change?
I felt a bit more confident.
Well, and as you felt more confident, did it make your technique improve, you think?
I think probably so. And my technique has changed over the years. Over the years, my technique has changed.
Old man. It sounds like he's 50 years old. Very good.
My technique, my style has changed somewhat, because I remember in contests. In contests, you pretty much play fiddle tunes. You play something that's very fancy. Mm. This, you know, just a lot of triplets, a lot of melodics, a lot of chromatics, mm-hmm. you know.
And I like chromatics.
Yes, chromatics are nice. They are. But, you know, when you get here and you work with a band, or you work with this guy over here singing a song, you got to learn, hey, listen, I'm supposed to be in the... I'm supposed to be giving him a foundation to sing on. I'm not supposed to be up here trying to pick out the lead while this guy's singing. I'm not supposed to be here playing a fiddle tune to his song. I'm supposed to be playing a clean break, that represents the melody.
That's interesting.
And I've phased out a whole lot of my fiddle tune and contest playing. I still play fiddle tunes on occasion. They're fun. Mm-hmm. You know, they're fun. But fiddle tunes is not what banjo picking is about. Okay.
Well, what is it about?
It's about being able to step in there and give an introduction to a song and make it stand out and make the song itself glow, or to make the individual that's singing it, you know, to make them look good. The banjo's got several different roles. You know, when I come in to take an introduction, or when I come to take a break, you know, those being the high points. But in between there, you have the backup. Mm-hmm. Now, backup is not something that's really looked upon by probably most beginners or a lot of banjo players. As far as that goes, it's not looked upon as being as important as being able to do the lead or the breaks or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned now just to pick up and drive that. When I hear banjo solos, I like to drive my playing. I like to put it all in there.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. I'm curious about this. When you're playing the way you play, I used to play an instrument, but never. I didn't have enough for this to be in a competition or anything. But when you start out, is there a point where you just become the music?
Yes. Oh, yes.
I never could achieve that. I could almost achieve it. You know, at the time, I thought I was becoming the music. But I realize now I wasn't even close. But if you were going to describe that, how would you describe it? Do you just forget you're there, or what happens to you when you become the music?
It's really kind of odd. It can sound kind of spacey if you really try to describe it.
Well, describe it. How would you describe it to the best you can? I would think it would be a real euphoria.
Actually, it is. You know, it's not real often that happens, that you can really just allow yourself to become part of it.
Well, why is that, do you think?
I don't know. Probably a difference in the individuals that you're playing with, or the way you might feel that day.
Because I've noticed watching people perform, sometimes when people perform, they perform and you enjoy it. And there are other times when people perform and it seems like everybody unites at some point all together.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I love it when it's like that. It just doesn't happen a lot.
Well, a lot of times, as you're speaking like that, when a lot of people are together, or you have a five-piece band on stage doing a show, all right, if all five of these guys have played with each other for the past 2 years or so,
mm-hmm.
each one knows exactly what the other one is going to do before it happens, and when it happens, they know what to do to accent it, accent what's going to happen, or how it happens. It's really kind of neat. It's unexplainable. You just know it.
You know it's coming, too, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, do you get to where you expect it? Does it always come?
No. It just flows.
It just flows.
And when I say expect, you don't expect it. But what it is, kind of like being along for the ride, you know. When it happens, mm-hmm. you do that, you know. And it's not something you think about, really. It's not something you think about. It's just spontaneous. It's very spontaneous.
Can you tell a difference if you have that feeling when you're with a group versus when you're by yourself and you come to music?
Oh, yes.
Which do you prefer? Or is there...
I prefer playing with other people. You know, you need to play with other people in order to keep your timing and keep your chops up, you know.
What's chops at me?
Oh. that's the right hand. That's the right hand, that's the left hand. To keep your right hand strong, keep your left hand strong, and keep them both coordinated with each other. One gets lazy.
Mm.
You know, you've lost your... You're losing a little bit of your edge. I should have said edge.
I like chops better. play.
Well, that's why I've always heard it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, most generally, I'll say age. You'll lose your age.
Mm-hmm.
And,
if you were going to compare yourself to a banjo player who was in this county in 1920, how would you think that you have a, how would I say it? Do you have a chance to be a better player because of mass communication, transportation being what it is?
I would think so.
Or do you think the guy who was walking from the hill to hill or riding a mule or going down to the train stop to play would have the same chance to be exposed to as much to perfect what he was doing?
Not at all. I would think that I would be in a better position because it's something, you know, you can't, it's something you cannot allow yourself to become sloppy. A lot of people, I shouldn't say that. A lot of people, I'm sure back then, had a strong will to hey, I'm gonna play this, I'm gonna play this perfect. And that's great. But you gotta look at, there's a lot of individuals then, as I know there are today, that plays it. Hey, I just played that, you know, I played that. Well,
mm-hmm.
You played it, but did you play it the best it could be played?
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't, why not? Was it because you just weren't used to playing with another individual or several individuals?
I've kind of toyed around with that so much. There's one part of me that thinks that maybe music was more distinct in 1920. Maybe it was more regional. You know, certain elements would show up where you might go 100 miles and not hear certain elements at all on the same instrument. But it seems like now with mass communication being the way it is, in a way we may be losing some of that distinctness. On the other hand, there's so much going on that's far beyond an instrument, I don't even know if you could really compare them. Because from these taping sessions that you see and I've watched, by the time they get through adding the audios to it, sometimes the sound seems like it changes quite a bit. You know, it's not like the pure, pristine sound of the instrument that you used to think about. So I don't really know.
It's hard to
think
say.
About a lot.
it's hard to say.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause you know that black man, Arnold Schultz, from what his family says, he would get on a steamboat and go to big cities and pick up all the chromatics and stuff and bring it back. And of course, the railroad went through here. So there were influxes. A lot of people were thinking this region was so isolated, but it wasn't from that. That's all right, don't worry about it. It wasn't isolated from those two reasons, but that there's a lot of difference in that kind of influence on the music than turning on the TV or playing with the radio, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I've often wondered what's going to, you know, how you could really compare it.
I'm certain that there were musicians back then that had the desire to do it the best they could.
Does music run in your family?
Yes, somewhat, to some degree. As I understand, my grandfather was a banjo player.
At which side? Mom's or dad's?
Dad.
So you have a banjo player on your dad's side.
And dad could play the guitar a little bit. He could play chords and some rhythm.
Now, was that by ear?
Yes.
Just playing by ear?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's you.
And then there's me.
And what about your brother?
No, he doesn't play.
No desire at all.
I'm sure that there is. I'm sure that there is, and I'm sure he'd probably be a good musician.
I thought maybe he just couldn't keep up with you. Do you think that would have hindered him since you've taken to it? And I don't know your brother at all.
No.
I'm just asking you questions about this.
He's like me. He likes to do things well.
Mm.
You know. If I can't play something, exactly what I wanted to. I like for everything to be perfect. Of course, I'm very guilty of not doing things perfectly as far as that goes.
Well, you are human, you know.
Yeah, but that's what I was going to say. Yeah, but
still, I have those tendencies too.
I like to play things perfect if I can. And, you know, so many people, you'd be amazed how many people's got the talent to play. I believe you'd be amazed how many people have the talent to play that never develop it. Mm-hmm. They have the interest, mm-hmm. but somehow along the way, they weren't taken with it as you or I mm-hmm. or someone else was, you know, and
let me ask you a little bit more about the music, and then we'll get to the instrument making. Do you see yourself as basically continuing the way you are with your music? Or are you going to try to go professional, or are you going to stick with it around here?
Right now, at this time, it's kind of hard to say. I've got a strong desire to be professional. I've got a strong desire.
How strong is it?
It's quite strong. But under circumstances and some certain responsibilities, it's just according. It's according to what happened.
Well, if a person is really strongly wanting to be professional, if you were going to give me the steps to being professional, to try to make it there, what are they? I mean, we know you've got to be good when you play, but how do you get yourself promoted, do you think?
Well, it's according to what you want to get into. A lot of times, if you're around shows and festivals, if you meet these performers or some of the side men, become friends, mm-hmm. or becomes friends with acquaintances, you know, listen, how's the best way for me to present myself to this artist? It means looking for a job. Well, most generally, I've done a few demo tapes, and that's what a lot of artists would prefer, you know, hey, sit down some night and bring me a really good demo tape.
Mm-hmm.
That's some of the best picking.
Where do you do the demo tapes?
Well, you can do demo tapes wherever.
But you're talking about a professional studio of sorts to do your demo tapes, or you're not talking about just sitting here at home doing it?
At that time, no. A friend of mine's got a reel-to-reel tape recording, and we've sat down and worked with the sound and the mix on that. Maybe not recording on the reel-to-reel itself, but on a regular cassette, high-quality cassette tape,
mm-hmm.
and set your sound and find where maybe the best place in the room is for you to sit. If it's best for you to sit in the middle of the room to get the best sound. You know, of course, you know, the sound of your instrument and your voice will reflect.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe that's what you want. Maybe you want it to reflect a little bit. And sometimes maybe it's best not to have it to reflect. Anyhow, what I'm saying is it can be done in several different fashions. It can be done in a studio, which is, I'm sure, the best
mm-hmm.
that you can achieve some high quality recording to a degree, mm-hmm. quality recording. You know, in the home, if you've got a nice taping outfit.
So that would be a way to get your demo tapes.
Pretty much so. Sit down, record your tape. And always, when you go up to talk to the professional, the artist, the potential mm-hmm. employer, it's, of course, you always want to look your best. You know, I mean, it's the same way for a regular job. You want to look good. You want to act. You know, it's very important.
Mm-hmm.
you need to be sincere. You don't need to go up and put on a big front, but you need to be sincere and express your desire to work and towards quality work, towards being a quality musician.
Well, do you prefer country to bluegrass, or do you have preference or none?
Oh, I love it all.
It doesn't really matter.
I love it all. I listen to bluegrass. I listen to country. I listen to pop, rock.
Well, if you were going to make a demo tape.
If I was going to go to work, there's a few country performers that I would consider, you know, or I would enjoy. I'll say it like that, that I would enjoy working with.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, is that based on what you've read and the way they play?
Based on their music.
Mm.
Their music. I want to be, you know, I want to work with someone who I have a great appreciation for the music, for what they're doing. You know, if I don't enjoy it,
mm-hmm.
you know, why do it?
That's true.
And I listen to a lot of Southern gospel. So, you know, my listening is very diversified. I listen to a lot of...
The way you talked about Southern gospel, you must really like it a lot.
Oh, I love it.
Do you think your early childhood experiences listening to the quartets were...
Probably so.
Far enough?
Guy Rafferty and the Singers. Oh, yes. I'm sure it did. I love harmony. I love to hear four-part harmony. I love to hear harmony all together. And a good bass, a good tenor, a good lead, and a baritone. I mean, that's it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All four parts working, each one complementing the other and not trying to overstep another.
Mm-hmm. I hope I should be able to interview him Saturday. I'm really looking forward to that. He's a legend, isn't he? Mr. Rafferty?
Yes, he is.
Take him out. I've often thought the music gave him his outlook on life.
His perspective.
Mm-hmm. I really don't know him personally. You know, I've just seen him different places, and every time I see him, he's always so positive and friendly. And
very cheerful.
Mm-hmm. He's kind of got this glow to him.
It's fine, man.
And I've watched him sing for several hours over a period of time, and I've often wondered if part of that has helped him to become the kind of man he is, or appears to me.
I think, according to what you're doing, how deeply rooted you are in it, I think it has an influence
mm-hmm.
on your personality.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Well, now tell me about these instruments you've been making.
Well, So far I've built one guitar. Really enjoy building. I built the guitar. I built a banjo neck. I've done a few inlay jobs, pearl inlay jobs. Right now, me and two other gentlemen are in the process of building a mandolin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the three of us. And we're putting in a lot of different, incorporating a lot of different ideals. It's going to be a mandolin. It's, you know, it's still going to look and play the same. But, you know, we have some different ideals.
Well, when you get it finished, let me come over and listen to it, because it's one of my favorite instruments.
It's going to be, we've got our wood and everything.
What kind of wood are you using?
With the mandolin, we're using a curly maple for the back and sides.
Where'd you get it? Curly maple.
Well, you can buy curly maple several different places. There's places there in Kentucky. You can buy, you know, curly maple.
I mean, did you order it, or did you go pick it out yourself? Or?
We went and picked it out. Mm. We went and picked it out. It's still pretty much in slab, mm. pretty much.
Where'd you go to get it?
We have a friend in Litchfield.
Mm.
That has a supply of wood.
Now, are you drawing your own patterns? Instruments, or using a kit, or...?
On the mandolin, we are using a traditional A-style pattern for the body. The headstock, the peg head,
mm-hmm.
is totally different. I mean, it's not wild or anything. It's, you know, it's not out of context, but it's different. It's not mm-hmm. something that everybody else copies that you see on this mandolin. and that mandolin and that mandolin. I remember sitting down one night and Elmer gave me a call and said, hey, we need to get some inlays going for this. And I remember staying up one night pretty late drawing inlays.
What does that mean, drawing inlay? Does that mean making the patterns?
Exactly, the inlays for the neck and the headstock of the instrument. On the mandolin, we didn't want anything fancy on the fingerboard. You know, that's just kind of gaudy on a mandolin, I think.
Yes, I would agree with that.
On the headstock, you know, though, you like to have a nice, some nice inlays on the headstock. I think on the fingerboard, we're looking at some nothing real extravagant, but it's not going to be simple as dots either. But I sat down one night, stayed up pretty late, drawing this and drawing that, and drawing this and modifying it, and then putting it side by side, which one looks the best.
Well, you light up just as much when you're talking about building as you do when you're playing, so
oh,
you must
goodness.
Have this in your bones, too.
Oh, goodness, I love to build.
I can tell that. I mean, you just really light up here.
It's a blast. I love it. That's one of my deep desires. If I couldn't play music professionally, I would love to build. And that opportunity may present itself.
I would think that would be pretty likely to happen. Hand built thing.
Well, we use good wood, and if our engineering works out in terms, well, we should have an excellent sounding instrument.
Mm-hmm. Have you met George Green?
Never have met George. I always wanted to.
Have you been in a shop down there in Nashville?
I've been by it several times.
You should stop in there. You really should.
I'm sure. I'm very big on vintage instruments.
Mm-hmm. It would be worth just going down there for the day.
I'm very big on vintage instruments. The banjo I play is a vintage Gibson flathead.
Gibson.
Flathead banjo, flathead metronome, which is very rare. And I made the neck for it because when I got it was pretty much dilapidated. You know, it was gone pretty much. And I made the neck, but first I had, the resonator wasn't in very good shape. And of course, I've got about 3 or 4 banjos here, I guess. And I just merely took a neck and a resonator off one of them and stuck on this pot assembly until I could get things going. I got the resonator in working order where it would fasten on again. And then I went to a friend of mine and ordered a partial neck, partially carved neck. Mm-hmm. And I sat down and sanded it and carved it and sanded and carved and sanded, and I sat down and I drew the inlays out and inlaid the neck with the pearl. I bound the neck and everything, mm-hmm. just everything you have to do, and sprayed lacquer, of course.
So when you start doing this, you probably have these visions as you go along, right?
Yes, I have visions and nightmares. That's the truth, because I remember when I was building my guitar. I can remember laying in bed at night. Well, if I do this, I'm not going to have any wood left to do that. How am I going to get that herringbone around the top without breaking it? You know, mm-hmm. How am I going to glue this in? How am I going to route that out and make it work? You know, I can remember laying at night just, you know, totally awake. Mm-hmm. For thinking and worrying about how I was going to do something.
Now, how old were you when you started doing this instrument building? Or if you don't remember, I mean, was it lately?
I was probably, no. Sophomore in high school, I was contemplating getting into it very heavily. By my junior year of high school, I had my guitar wood and was building it. I bought the sides pre-bent, and none of it was assembled, which was a trick. It looked like a bunch of kindling, practically. But I turned out, in my opinion, you know, a fine instrument.
You still have it, too?
Yes, I do.
Oh, good. After a while, I get to look at it.
Certainly.
I don't want to miss this. Well, I really think that you should make a point to meet George.
I would like to.
He's definitely a scholar, that's for sure. And he certainly knows vintage instruments. But Steve and I stopped in down there, and I know more of the socioeconomic things, you know, the ethnicity of things, than I do the actual music, as far as the musicians, the instruments, and so forth. But I was just intrigued at all the different materials and the shapes and the sounds.
Mm-hmm. I've studied, ever since I've been into music, I've studied pre-war Gibson banjos, flathead banjos, the fancy ones, you know, mm-hmm. everything. I've studied the Martin guitars down through the years, you know, everything that Martin has done.
Mm-hmm.
I've got several articles and things of that nature. And that's why I have the magazine collection as I have in there. You'd be amazed how many articles that, hey, there's something that sticks out in my mind about this instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And I know where there's something at that might be able to clarify that up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go in there and get to digging around my articles and my records and stuff. And I'll find the article and I'll sit down and read it two or three times and get everything out of it that I want. That's the reason why I have such a mess.
Well, you've got it in order. You know, I just thought of it, Marty. But Marty's name is not Stewart, it's Lanham. We got to talking about George. It sort of came back to me. So I gave you the wrong name on the instrument repair person. It's Marty
mm-hmm.
Lanham.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he'll probably be in Owensboro in September. Do you go to IBMA's workshops, or you have to, you're with work, aren't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. This year, we played one show. Our band played a show that Friday afternoon right before the award ceremony. Mm-hmm. That was Thursday night. I'm sorry, it was Thursday.
Thursday, because I had to go to Georgia. My daughter's in school in Georgia. And they had parent weekend that same weekend. And I was just torn to pieces. So I missed everything. You know, we worked real hard to get the museum open and all that. And then I had to leave right when everything was going to be fun.
They had the best band. Mm-hmm. Two of my favorite bands was there this year.
Who are your two favorites?
I have several. Well, that's hard for me. But the two. The two that I probably admire the most is a band called Third Time Out.
Hmm.
And the Lonesome River Band.
Now, are they, which part of the country are they from? Yeah.
The Lonesome River Band is from Virginia. Third Time Out, there's a couple. There's one in Virginia, there's two in North Carolina, and a couple of them in Georgia. But they are, in my opinion, the best. I get a lot of enjoyment. From listening to them. I learn a lot. You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, imagine with your background and taking it all in. It would be a lot of difference for me listening to them and you listening to them.
I mean, I sit down, I listen to everything. Hey, that sounded hot, you know. That was great.
Well, you know, in a way it could really bother you too. And my ears are not as sensitive to all these different things as yours. And so, do you think sometimes you can get so busy critiquing it that it interferes with you enjoying it?
Probably sometimes it could. It when you say critique, generally I haven't got any criticism.
Well, that a critique doesn't necessarily mean criticism.
Exactly. But by listening to Hal Wilson, man, that was great. That was a fine banjo break. Man, it was hot, you know, mm-hmm. or something like that. I have a deep appreciation for everything that they're doing. I think, man, that was perfect.
Well, what I've noticed that I do, because I've really been focusing on writing for the last year, and I've gotten where everything I read, I'm editing it. And, you know, because when you write something, you have to rewrite it. And no matter how many times you rewrite it, you can always rewrite it. And you can always make it just a little different and change it just a little. And it's gotten where I have to really make an effort not to edit as I go. So I just wondered if you had your ear that perfected to the music, if you find yourself doing that sometimes. Thinking, well, you know, here he slipped up. Like, I may not hear a slip, or you would hear it. So then you're going,
I hear people's mistakes. You know, it's not that I listen for them.
No.
not that I listen for a mistake, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's see what he does tonight, you know.
You're just real well tuned.
But I listen to the guitar man, I listen to the banjo man, the mandolin, everything. I listen to everything in its context, as
you know,
it works.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but when the Russians were here,
mm-hmm.
one of my favorite memories is when you and Boris got together with those banjos. Remember when y'all switched?
Mm-hmm.
I think whenever I think about them, I think about it because y'all were both so intense. Therefore, there was these few moments that y'all were just intense, you know. And it was really neat. What kind of banjo player was he? To me he sounded good, but I didn't know enough to know. Would you say he was an excellent one, or good, or mediocre?
I hate to say, I don't like to. If I thought he was excellent, I would say that. But he was a good banjo player. He was a good banjo player.
Oh, I realize he was good. I mean, to think all that he went through to even make the banjo, you know.
Yes.
But if he were in a contest, all right, let's just forget he's Russian. Let's just put him at Rough River. They got a lot of publicity because they were Russian and people admired them for coming and so forth. And I'm not taking away from them in any way because I was their tour guide and I enjoyed being with them. But just forget he's Russian, let him speak English and stick him up at Rough River and put him in a contest. Could he have held his own? I'm asking you a tough question.
Well, I hate to be critical.
Well,
but honestly,
Well, being critical, we're not being critical, we're discussing this.
I don't think so. Due to the fact that he didn't appear to play anything very fancy or very intricate,
mm-hmm.
or very fast, and you know, that's when you go to a contest. We're back to the contest. You go to a contest. If I was a judge, and I would like to judge sometime.
I bet you'd be a good one. Have you done that?
No, I never have.
Well, you really should. You should go for it.
Well, it's not a point of me going for it. It's a matter of them asking me, I guess.
Well, you need to make yourself available to be asked.
But I hear the things that's important in a banjo or in any musician's playing. If I was gonna judge him or another individuals in a contest, as far as banjo contest goes, I look for the guy that can play. Play relatively fast and clean, and play something complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Because most anybody can sit down and play something at a mediocre pace or relatively mm-hmm. slow, and be somewhat clean, and be relatively intricate.
Well, with me, listening to the Russians play, and I'm no critique by any means. But to me, the only time that I really heard them when they really came alive was when we went back in the old Monroe home place.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got in the rooms, everything shifted. It was like a whole different world. Their countenance changed. They all sort of had this effervescence. And their music shifted. It was really neat, you know, and nobody captured it. It made me sick. Nobody captured it. We had all the equipment up there. And nothing, you know, nobody captured that
mm-hmm.
part. And then it seemed like after they came out of the building, everything went back to mundane. Just kind of, it was okay and it was fun, but it wasn't like it was when they were in the house. And then when Boris was playing with you, that's the only other time that I felt like everything got real oomph again.
Well, it seemed like that banjo pickers probably can correlate with each other better than probably most of the rest of the instruments, because when you learn banjo, you know, you learn mm-hmm. Foggy Mountain Breakdown, things like that, and we sit there and we play three or four tunes that both of us knew all at once, you know. He would take a break on Foggy Mountain Breakdown, and then it was, you know, in my court, I would take the break, and then I'd play a break to Cumberland Gap. You know, of course, those are, you know, relatively simple, but you can still drive those tunes, and you can still play them clean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we sit there, and we play, just kind of like playing tennis. you know.
You know, I may have taken a picture. If I have a picture of that, I'll send it to you. I may have one.
Okay.
Because I know it really intrigued me, and I can't remember. You know, I've worked on so many things with all this stuff. It all runs together. I can't remember whether it was somebody got it on a documentary clip, but it seemed to me like it was a still picture. It's on my hand or something. So, well, let's get back to the instruments.
Okay.
And you've made how much now? Tell me all the different things you've made.
Well, as far as that goes, I've built a guitar. They don't really sound that exciting. A guitar.
Oh, it would be. I couldn't even think of how to do it.
Well, I haven't built a half dozen. Say, you know, mm-hmm. I haven't built a half dozen or a dozen or a hundred.
Well, I'd probably be more impressed if you said one.
But
than a hundred.
But let's see. There was a banjo neck. I had to redo the banjo resonator that's on my banjo now in order to get it to where it would even stay on the banjo. The mandolin's under construction right now, which would be fascinating. Mm-hmm. I've helped prepare some guitars. I've modified some guitars for my friends. The bracing work under the top of the instrument in order to make it sound better.
Have you shaved some back off like Mr. Stogner did on his fiddle, on Uncle Penn's fiddle?
No. No, you can't see it from the outside what I do. If you turn the instrument upside down and shake it, you might see the evidence of what I've done.
Do you put rattlesnakes in your
instruments? No, I've heard people doing that. I don't know why. Do you have? I've never understood that. What's the?
Well, I've had two different.
The significance behind
that. One significant thing was it changed the tone of the instrument.
How?
I have no idea. I'm just telling what they said.
That's what I'm curious.
And then Mr. Monroe, I was fortunate enough to be invited to attend a session when they filmed Mr. Monroe playing the mandolin. He mm-hmm. was teaching. They were making a video on how to play bluegrass. And so John Harford said to Mr. Monroe, why do they have these rattlesnake things in there? And he said, to keep out the termites. And we all laughed. I mean, you know, it's just what everybody said.
Oh, man.
So those are two theories. Take them or leave
them. I was just curious because I've seen several instruments with them in them, you know, and I didn't know the significance behind it.
That was it.
But I enjoy building. There'll probably be a couple of custom banjos in my future.
Now, how many people are helping you with this? Just
with the mandolin, there's three of us involved in the project.
Are these musicians also?
Yes. Yes, they are. The gentleman that first started me out teaching me the right-hand rolls on the banjo.
Well, who are these people, if you don't mind?
Elmer Darty.
Oh, okay, I know him.
It is the banjo picker.
I've seen something he made.
He taught me the right-hand rolls to the banjo, and taught me first three or four songs, probably. Mm.
Did you help him with that banjo that I've seen?
Maybe it's corny.
It's beautiful, whatever it is. I've just seen it once or twice. You had it over there at Branchers.
Both of us have worked on some of his instruments and mine. He's very good with his fiddles now. He's very good at redoing the fiddles, the violins, and things.
Hmm.
And bows, especially bows. He's probably, I would dare say, probably the best around now in doing bows, rehearing bows for people and repairing things. Jeff Morris is my buddy that plays rhythm for me on occasion. Mm-hmm. Actually, Jeff's a mandolin player now. Jeff plays mandolin now. And all three of us are kind of in on this venture somewhat. You know, it's fascinating. We do what we do. One works with the other.
It gives you all a common bond, too.
Exactly. Well, of course, we were all. Now, when I was going over to learn the banjo roll in Cripple Creek and Cumberland Gap, why, Jeff was always there playing rhythm. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much how I met Jeff. And as time, you know, progressed, why, and I was picking banjo for myself and building on my own, while Jeff would play rhythm for me at times. And we just get together and play. I still go over to Jeff's and Elmer's, and we all stay pretty close. And I'll sit down and I'll play rhythm guitar for Jeff playing the mandolin. And then I'll take the guitar break while Jeff's playing the mandolin chop. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with Elmer and his fiddle. and guitar.
Do those men come from musical traditions in their families, or do you know?
I can't say for Jeff. I know.
Pardon me.
I know Elmer's grandfather played banjo, and it's really kind of odd. Now I can't make any facts or proof or anything. You know, I've heard several people talk. Maybe I heard it from Elmer or his mother. But my grandfather used to play with Elmer's grandfather.
Indeed.
So, you know, and like that.
So the tradition's staying alive. It's just being modified a little bit.
Yes.
But what I consider the Ojai County musical tradition, you all are carrying it right on to the hilt. Sounds like.
Yeah.
With the, you know, adding your touch of your generation to it. That's great. There's a lot more tradition in this county than people realize.
I'm certain that there are.
You know, like the dances that they have at the park. In a way, they've changed, but in a way, they've just been modified somewhat. There's not that mystery. It's past up. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but we all three stay pretty close. And,
you got that common bond.
Yeah. Well, you know, we was talking earlier about how one musician would know what was going to happen. I mean, wouldn't expect it, but knew what was going to happen before it happened. You know, or when it happened, and how to work with it. Mm-hmm. Jeff and I, we've played enough. We've sat and played enough, just guitar and mandolin. And we know how one other plays. And it's really kind of odd, some of the things we do, but both of us will click at the same time. And while it does, it clicks good, you know. My rhythm will complement his mandolin playing, you know.
Now, let's see. Elmer's married. I know that. Is Jeff married?
Yes, he is.
And but you're not, right?
No, not
well,
yet.
What do the wives do while you all are doing all this?
Well, I don't know.
I mean,
generally we're kind of in the back room sometimes. Sometimes we're in the big living room where the stereo's at. Mm-hmm. You know.
I was just wondering if the wives were involved in music. It's kind of interesting, all these interviews, and I've listened to these older people talk about music. And they're always saying that the men, basically, I got, in general, the men were playing the instruments. And I keep thinking, well, what are the women doing? Which I know they were dancing. Right, doing that. And I know Miss Flossie said she cooked all the time, trying to feed everybody who would come around.
I appreciate those people.
You know, she really made Ojai County come alive to me, because she talked about, you know, loading up in the wagon, going out on the ice, getting in at daybreak, cooking all night, things like that. So I guess what you all are doing is really a modified version of all that. I bet you all stay up to the wee hours of the morning when you get into something.
Goodness, yes. Yeah. I've seen that happen several times.
See, you can come in several times at 2 o'clock in the morning. They only
3 o'clock and 3:30, and
only about a 10-minute drive to either house.
It's a wonder you didn't just float in on the music, isn't it?
Yeah, me and those guys are brothers.
I can tell that.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're very special to me.
You're lucky you've got each other.
Yes. I've learned something from each one of them. I like to think that maybe somewhere along the line, maybe I've been able to help them with something.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure you have. Well, is there anything we need to add about this music? Because I want to hear you play, but I don't want to leave anything out.
Well, I don't know.
Well, we can stop for now, and if we think of something else, if I think of something else when you get to playing, I'll ask you.
I'd like it to be said that I can, that I like for people to know I'm pretty much down to earth, you know. I've won two contests, and you know that thrilled me. But that's not something I put forward. That's not what I put. I don't put that in front of other people when we go play the contest behind me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a banjo picker. I'm a musician. You know.
Yeah, you truly are. I can tell.
I don't. I know several musicians. I know several people that that they have this glow about them when they walk around, and you can see it in some people. You know, hey, I'm the best.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the best, you know. And I don't want to have that. I don't want to have that. I've got a strong desire to be the best. I have a very strong desire to be the best. And but I don't want to be like that. When people see me, I want them to see me as I am.
Mm-hmm.